Jesus lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we are in your presence this morning. Thank you for being so good and showing up. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing. We are nothing without you. Thank you, Father God, that your will is going to be done in this service, that each and every single person that is in here this morning or that ever hears this message will be changed, that will be encouraged, that will be lifted into a deeper, closer, more intimate walk with you than ever before, and hungry and thirsty for more of you and ready to be obedient to you in all things. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, God is good, right? Oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with my friends this morning. I've been looking forward to worshiping with you guys all week long. So it is my great pleasure and honor to grow in relationship with you guys. And look around. This is your church family. This is who you're doing life with. You know, get used to these cats, man. We're going to be around each other for a long time, man. Eternity is a long time. Can I get a witness? Oh, I love you guys. So, we are at the foot of the cross. This is where we want to be. This is where Christians need to be. We don't want to leave the cross. That's where the power is. Amen? So we are extremely blessed people. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are blessed like no one else on the face of this planet. You have this wonderful, precious gift that you did not pay for, that you couldn't earn, but God loved you so much, he sent his precious, precious, valuable son to die, to lay down his life so we can live forever. And I was telling some folks Wednesday night, we were having a little study, and I began to talk about my son, and I have two sons, and I love them, and I love my church family. I love my church family. I love my sons. And I don't make no bones about it, man. There's no way, absolutely no way, I would sacrifice my sons for you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. But see, here's the thing, man. You know, we are instilled. When we have children, there's something that is in us to where we naturally want to protect them. You know what I'm saying? We would lay down our lives for them, but we want to protect them. We want to be there for them. And that's how, you know, we love our kids. But think about this. God loved us so much that he sent his son, the most precious thing in the universe. The most precious thing in the universe that had no beginning, always existed. If me and Jordan went out and we were digging in the creek bed and we found some Indian pottery that was 400 years old and it was perfectly preserved, and all the museums around Pensacola and even the Smithsonian Institute, everybody was trying to get this pottery from us, and me and Jordan were waiting for the highest bidder. I mean, that's an amazing thing, man. But even that pottery had a beginning. And one day that pottery will crack and fade away and crumble. You know what I mean? But see, here's the most valuable thing ever. The Son of God, the most precious thing that God had, he gave for us. So we can really, if we want to, we can shake off those heavy hands. We can get rid of some of these burdens and realize, man, I am truly loved by the sovereign God, the creator of the universe, who sent his son. And if he sent his son to die for me, will he not graciously give me all things? Will he not graciously meet my needs? You're blessed people, man. Can I get a witness? Yeah, tell the truth. Anywho, John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So here's the deal. Jesus early on, fairly early in his earthly ministry, is visited one evening by this Pharisee, this religious leader, this guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus has some questions for him. He's trying to feel out Jesus and see what's going on with this guy that's stirring up stuff. And Jesus cuts to the chase and says, Nicodemus, look, here's the deal. You got to be born again. You got to have this relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about following a bunch of rules. It's not about knowing scripture, but it's about knowing God, knowing the creator of the universe. And Jesus also says this. Now, Nicodemus, he would have understood the part about Moses and the serpent. But I'm pretty sure when Jesus says that, just like Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. I'm pretty sure Nicodemus was kind of lost in what he meant by that, just like Jesus' disciples, as he got closer to Jerusalem and began to tell them, you know, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed by sin. Man, he's going to be crucified. Okay, they weren't getting it. They weren't grabbing it. John 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, this is what he told Nicodemus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, or so Jesus must be lifted up. So now, go with me back to the Exodus story. Okay, it's on your bulletin. It's on the monitor. It's number 21. Numbers 21. Verse 5, so way back in the Exodus story, let me give you a little refresher here. You guys already know it, but just so we're on the same page. The Israelite people were slaves for 400 years to the Egyptians. God sent Moses to get them out of slavery. God unleashed his amazing, awesome power over the Egyptians, sent many plagues. The Egyptians had no choice. Pharaoh had no choice but to let God's people go. Egypt was in a mess, and by the end of it, Pharaoh and his army was drowned in the Red Sea, and the Israelite people walked across the Red Sea on dry land. Now, the Israelites, it didn't take them very long at all to get to the promised land, this land that God had prepared for them, this land that God had set beside for them. But as the Israelites get to the border of the promised land, as you know, Moses dispatches 12 spies. They come back. 10 of them bring a horrible report. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, say, no, we can surely take this land. But the other 10 spies brought back a horrible report. And so the people of Israel were fearful. They were full of doubt. They were full of fear. And they were grumbling and complaining against God and against Moses. They were saying there's giants in that land. The walls are too big, and the fortified walls are just huge. The people, the normal people, are bigger than us. And Joshua and Caleb was like, no, man, that's nothing compared to God. And see, God had made it clear to them that all they had to do is be obedient to God. All they had to do is walk in there, do what God said, and that God would do the heavy lifting. Can I get a witness? So they wouldn't listen to God. God said, all right, okay, we got a big teaching moment here, guys. Back to the wilderness you go. So God said, this generation of grumblers and complainers, fearful doubters, you guys got to die off, and I'm going to let your children go into this wonderful promised land. Joshua and Caleb, you get to go, but none of your other cats get to go. Back into the wilderness. So these guys are wandering around the wilderness, and it doesn't take them very long at all for us to get right here in Numbers 21 and verse 5. And the people spoke against God. Now listen to this. Listen to this. It was the Israelites' sin that didn't let them go into the promised land. They were the ones that didn't think God could do it. Even though God parted the Red Sea, the plagues that he unleashed on Egypt, the manna being fed every day, the water from the rock, the pillar of fire, all these things, God's power was all over the place. But this thing, this new thing that they never quite experienced before, was too big for God. Well, we know all things are possible. We know it wasn't too big for God. They were just listening to the wrong report. Can I get a witness? Let God be true and every man a liar, right? Look at your neighbor and say, let God be true and every man a liar, and scoot over just a little bit. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Listen, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. We often blame, this is not the main thing I want to talk about, but this was speaking to me when I was doing my study, is we often blame God for the problems that we've caused in our own life. We often blame other people for the problems that we have caused in our own life. We often blame other people for the hard times that we go through in life. We often blame God for the hard times that we go through in life. And it's clear to us by reading the text, the Israelites were the one that disobeyed. They disobeyed God, and now they're back in the wilderness. And see, when we blame God for our problems, that's a problem. Can I get a witness? See, it's easy for us to look at the Israelites and say, look, you should have just did Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You should have just did this, okay? But, okay, so let's read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know it already, but let's go over it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's giants over there. And I don't think these were like, I mean, it's neither here nor there, but I don't really think they were like 10-foot tall dudes. I think there might have been some of those. But the Israelites were just full of fear. I think these are some really big guys, man. Really, really, really big guys. You know, if there's like a bunch of 10-foot dudes, then the Israelite army could have been like, okay, Joshua, I'm running the show here. And okay, so here's the deal. Let me get you 12 dudes against each giant. Easy pickings, man. He'll probably get a couple of you cats, but that's all right. Just keep moving, all right? You shoot the arrow in his face. You hit him with the club. Keep moving, man. We got this. All right, who wants to live forever? I think these cats were really, really big, but that doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter if they're 40 feet tall, 60 feet tall, or 10 feet tall, or 3 feet tall, man. If God be for us, who can be against us? But if God is against you, it doesn't matter if they're 3 feet tall or whatever. It doesn't matter if they're coming at you with sticks and stones and you got the best that the military government can provide for you. Anyways, moving forward, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So instead of blaming God and shaking our fist at him when we're going through a hard time, and a hard time that we very well may have caused ourselves, what I mean is, you know, God says if we choose to sin, we choose to hurt ourselves. We choose to sin, we choose to suffer. And so when we do these things, we're saying, God, I'm going to do it on my own. And then when it doesn't work out the way we think it should, then we get all mad at God. Okay? When we should have just done this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, or in all your ways submit to him. Do what he says. See, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is this wonderful, amazing couple of verses right here that can save us from so much unnecessary pain and trouble. I'm not about to stand up here and say life ain't hard, life ain't unfair. That is true. Life's brutal, life's unfair. God never says it's otherwise. But he says he'll be for us, and he says you can save yourself a lot of unnecessary trouble if you just obey me. Can I get a witness? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So talking about the Israelites who are now spending the next 40 years wandering around the wilderness, going around that mountain, going up to the promised land, leaving it, going around and around and around, if they would just have been obedient to God, right? He would have made their path straight because all they had to do was cross that border and trust in him, you know? But anyways, God's all about teaching us lessons. He's about the long game. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. So here's the deal. So far, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus pulls up this verse from the Exodus story and says, just like Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And now we're talking about the story about this serpent that was lifted up. And so now the Israelites who are back in the wilderness are grumbling and complaining against God, against Moses, blaming God and Moses for their disobedience. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But I know I've done the same thing. Anyways, I'm sure you guys have not, but anyways, I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me too, right? Okay, Numbers 21, verse 6. Now check this out. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Probably not serpents that were on fire. Probably not blazing serpents that were scorching their ways, catching the tents on fires, burning their sandals and robes up. That would be scary anyways. But the flaming serpents, very poisonous snakes. Look at your neighbor and say, these are very poisonous snakes. Yeah. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. This is a bad thing, man. This is really bad. Imagine, okay, go back to these guys grumbling and complaining and blaming God for their trouble. If you look at the text, man, when you grumble against God, when you start blaming God or other people for your problems, Satan's always right there to help distort the truth. He's always there to whisper in your ear, to tell you all kinds of lies, hoping you're going to run with it because you're vulnerable, because you're already giving in to the bad way right there. You know, and these people, they're like, we ain't got no food. We ain't got no water. Yeah, you do, knucklehead. What about the manna? What about everything that God has provided for you? But see, that's another thing. When we grumble and complain and start blaming our problems on God or other people, not only does this truth get distorted in our eyes, but God's provision is never enough. What God's done in your life in the past is never enough. When we get that way, they're like, we ain't got no food, we ain't got no water. And the food that we do have, that manna that falls down from the sky, this wonderful blessed treat that God gives us every single day, we hate it. I hate it. Look at your neighbor and say, I hate it. Like they were so sick of it. So God sends these fiery serpents. It was their sin. And God, okay, so then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. Verse 7, now the Israelites get it. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Can you imagine what this picture looks like, man? Can you imagine? We know about the plagues of the frogs in Egypt and all that stuff, but can you imagine how this would feel to be an Israelite? You know, you're in your tent and you see like these forms of snakes all over your tent, man, all over it, you know, and you hear your neighbor over there, oh, there's one in the tent. And, you know, Joe Bill's running around because he's got a snake on his arm, and all these people are dying all around you, and there's snakes everywhere, and you got to tiptoe to where Moses and Joshua and Aaron is, hoping you don't step on a fiery serpent. There's one of them fiery serpents, you know, kicking them. And you get there, and you're like, and the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? Just like the serpent was lifted up, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses does what God says. He makes this serpent, he puts it on a pole, puts it up in camp, and he says, everyone, you get bit, look at this serpent on the pole and you will be healed. And that's exactly what happened. See, here's the deal. They broke God's law. The Israelite people, they didn't obey God. They broke God's law. The wages of sin is what? It's death. So once they broke God's law, these snakes were released. And this was a death sentence if you got bit by one of these snakes. If you got bit by one of these snakes, you were going to die. But see, God loved them so much. Are you listening this morning? God loved them so much, he made a way for them to be healed. All you had to do is look at that snake on that pole, and God was going to heal you. And see, here we are as human beings. We've all fallen short. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's that standard for us to get into heaven, and none of us come close. We've all broken God's law. Every single one of us fall way short. But just like if you looked on this serpent, you would be healed. God the Father made a way for me and you to be forgiven of our transgressions. Can I get a witness? Look at Romans 6:23. This is the good news this morning. For the wages of sin is death. That's how this thing works, man. God is a holy God. A holy God. There is no one like him. There is nobody like him. Never will be anybody like him. He can't have anything to do with sin. He hates sin, but he loves us. For the wages of sin is death. And like I already said, we've all blown it. We've all broken God's law. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Just like there was provision made for their healing by that serpent that was held up, or that bronze snake to be held up. Okay, God made provision for us because we are fallen people. We have broken God's law and he loves us so much. Don't ever think that you're not loved by God. When your life is hard and tough and unfair, things aren't going your way, don't ever think God doesn't care about you. Don't ever think that God doesn't love you. He's already made a way for you to spend eternal life with him. He already made a way for our sins to be forgiven. We are loved by God. Amen? Big news, good news, right? That's wonderful, man. That's amazing. That's the best news we're going to hear all day, that there's a way for our sins to be forgiven. Okay, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, remember, Jesus was on that cross, and he said, I thirst. And they gave him that sour wine. They gave him that wine, and it loosened up his mouth to where he could speak to proclaim the most precious words ever in all eternity. And he said, it is finished. He said, paid in full. When he was on that cross, he paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. Amen. That means that Satan can't come to you and say, you belong to me, or you ain't no good. No, 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 no. You don't understand, man. My sins were paid for on the cross of Calvary, man. I don't belong to you. I belong to the Most High God, because the veil in that temple was ripped in two. I have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Give the Lord some praise, man. So Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, his Pharisee, John 3:14-15. Let's go to the next slide. John 3, it's on your bulletin too. John 3:14-15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15. See, you can't say that Jesus didn't know what he was facing. He's already talking about being crucified. He's telling Nicodemus pretty early in his ministry that, hey, this thing, I'm going to be in Jerusalem and I am going to be lifted up. I am going to be crucified, all right? Now, I'm sure this made a lot more sense to Nicodemus after his death, after Jesus' death. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, verse 15, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Just like when you look at that serpent, you could be healed. You could be healed from that snake bite. If we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can be healed. It's all terminal, man. Everybody in here is going to die. I mean, not like today. You know, Jordan, lock those doors. Break out the fiery serpents. No, not today. I hope not. But Jordan went and locked the door. Stage one is complete, gentlemen. The doors have been, the perimeter has been secured. So anywho, what's going on today? What are we talking about? Jesus. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. All we got to do is accept that precious gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. All we have to do is accept that precious gift. You can't do it on your own. You're not going to be cool enough to get to heaven on your own. You're not rich enough. It doesn't even work that way. You would have to be absolutely perfect. And that ain't you. And that ain't me. Can I get a witness? But God made a way for our sins to be forgiven. What a wonderful thing. So Jesus telling Nicodemus, he's saying that serpent is a picture of Israel, the Israelite sin. He's saying, when you look at that serpent, when the Israelites would look at that serpent, it would be a reminder of their sins. Okay, so here's Jesus saying, I am going to be on a cross one day, and the sins of all mankind will be placed on me. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Look at this right here, this amazing, wonderful blessing. The sins of humanity was placed on Jesus at the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin. Isn't that amazing? For our sake. So we can't walk around saying, well, God doesn't care about me. Listen to this, man. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin. Jesus was that perfect, sinless, spotless lamb. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, right? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What in the world? Okay, so I'm the sinner. I'm the one that's broken God's law. I'm the one that spent a big chunk of my life saying, I'm going to do what I want to do, you know? And see, here's Jesus, that he, not only did he pay for my sins, but what does that look like? Remember on the cross, we just talked about this. When he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When the sins of all humanity was placed on his, on the person, Jesus Christ, God the Father had to look away. Remember, God hates sin. He can't have anything to do with sin. Sin repulses him, but he loves us. So it pleased the Father for my sin to be placed on Jesus Christ. And so my sin was placed on Jesus. He paid for my sins. Remember, it is finished, right? And then Jesus' righteousness was given to me. Did you hear what I just said? My sin was given to Jesus on that cross, and he paid for it. And then Jesus' righteousness was given to me. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. When God the Father sees me, he says, that's someone that's covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's someone who accepted that precious gift of salvation. That's someone who appreciates what I did for them, what my son did for them at the cross. Can I get a witness? Like, seriously, that's pretty good news. Look at your neighbor and say, that's pretty good news. That's really good news. So the serpent is a picture of sin. The serpent is a picture of God's judgment. Somebody has to pay for these sins, man. Somebody has to pay for these sins. Either we pay for them or we accept that precious gift. So, you know, when you hear the old statement, I can't worship or follow a God that would send me to hell, all God's people are, no, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing, right? It's a very serious thing. But that's not a true statement. God doesn't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. Just like the Israelites disobeyed God, okay? And if we choose to sin, there's always going to be consequences. But God had mercy on them and loved them and said, here is the provision for you to be healed. Look at this serpent on this pole and you will be healed. And here we are. We're the ones that sinned. We're the ones that broke God's law. And he doesn't send us to hell. We send ourselves to hell. And he made a way for us to be washed white as snow. He made a way for our sins to be forgiven. And like I said, it's the most precious, most valuable thing in all eternity. The most precious thing ever created? No, because he wasn't created. He has always existed. Something is precious and valuable because it's rare and old. Jesus has always existed. Okay, and there's nobody like him. Nobody like his only begotten son. And God was pleased to send him as a sacrifice for me and for you. Can I get a witness? We're blessed. We're blessed. The serpent is a picture of God's judgment. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Yeah, right there. But he was pierced for our transgressions. For his transgressions? No, for my transgressions. For your transgressions. Somebody has to pay for the sin. And Jesus Christ paid for that sin. So he doesn't send me to hell. I send myself to hell when I'm like, I don't need your provision. I don't need no Jesus Christ. I don't want it. I don't need it. I'll get there on my own. Okay. All right, tough guy. Follow the law. There you go. You ever said a lie? No. You ever stole anything? No. You ever killed anybody? No. Well, if you hate somebody, you're guilty of murder. No. You ever committed adultery? No, man. What are you talking about, man? You ever look at a woman with lust? No. All right. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Look, here's God's judgment being poured out on Jesus Christ. And worst of all, I believe, is when Jesus felt the absence of God the Father for that time when God had to look away. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. So Jesus made provision for our, for us to be saved. He paid that price for us. Now let's focus on this tiny, tiny little part for 1 second. In this world of craziness, in this world where you turn on the news, everybody's lying to you nowadays, and people just assume that you're an idiot, right? I don't assume that you're an idiot. what? I'm just saying that people lie to us, right? They see all these lies and they expect us just to gobble it up, you know? Oh, yeah, everything's cool with the border. Okay, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Listen to this. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Okay, I'm not saying bury your head in the sand. And this is talking about I have peace of knowing where I'm going to go when I die, because Jesus Christ paid for that. But it is also talking about God wants me to have peace in a world that's falling apart. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Let God be true and every man a liar, right? I'm trusting in the Most High God. Like I said, I'm not saying bury your head in the sand. I'm saying you do what we got to do. But at the end of the day, I belong to God. So there's a mountain. It doesn't matter if the mountains fall into the sea, right? I belong to the Most High God. Anyways, just a little encouragement. I hope that encourages you. Let's go to the next slide. God's got us is what I'm trying to say. So should I plant a garden? Yeah, plant a garden. John 3, 14 and 15. John 3, 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's a wonderful thing right there. For the wages of sin is death, right? But if I believe in him, I get eternal life. All I have to do is accept what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross. And then I am a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. My sins have been forgiven, right? What a wonderful thing. Look at Romans 5 and verse 9. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood. Someone's got to pay for the sins, right? Either we're going to pay for them or we accept what Jesus Christ already did for us. And that precious blood has washed away our sins when we accept him. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ took on God's judgment. You see what I'm saying? Jesus Christ took on God's wrath. Cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. Jesus Christ paid for my sins, so I will never have to pay for the penalty of my sins. Eternally, I am forgiven when I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Is that not a wonderful thing? So just like there is provision for healing made for the rebellious Israelites, all they had to do is look up at that serpent on the pole. That serpent, a picture of sin that was placed on Jesus, a foreshadowing, a picture of God's judgment that would be placed on Jesus. If we look to that cross and ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, we are saved people. So, what I want to do right now, I have no doubt most people, maybe everybody in here has accepted Jesus Christ. We give the invitation all the time around here. But I don't ever want to miss an opportunity to do this. I don't ever want to miss the opportunity because you don't want to miss the opportunity if you haven't accepted Christ, because tomorrow ain't promised. Listen to me. If you haven't accepted Christ, listen to me. If you have accepted Christ, just pray for anybody that has not accepted Christ. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, give me your ear. Tomorrow's not promised to you. In this crazy world where I'm doing funerals all the time, man, all the time. People go to eternity every single day. Tomorrow's not promised to you, so don't say I'll do it tomorrow. Don't say I'll do it next week. Don't say I'll do it when I get my taxes back. Don't say I'll do it when I get my ducks in a row. When I get my dog's flea medicine, I'll go ahead and take care of that. Today is the day of salvation. Baby, please, hold on. So if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to say this prayer with me. And I invite anybody and everybody to say it. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I know that I am a sinner. I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And He died for my sins. And He rose from the dead. He paid for my sins. And He defeated death. I ask You, Father God, to forgive me of all my sins. And I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sins. And I will follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So look, that's really, really cool. If you prayed that and you meant it, it doesn't matter if you felt funny, you saw sparkles, you flipped over in your chair backwards, or you didn't feel nothing. If you said it and you meant it, welcome to the family of God. And we love you. What you need to do, if you had just asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, I would like to know about it, so you can come tell me. If you